This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, Whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more five-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain.
As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
I think we could just do so much better. Wikipedia now has something like, at last count, I think it was something like, is it 8 or 12,000 people who were had done enough editing in the previous month to be able to vote on articles. And that isn't very much, right? I mean, as shepherds for a top 10 website and the biggest encyclopedia in the world, that's just not enough.
So today on the show, we are going to be talking to the founders of Everpedia, a very exciting Wikipedia competitor built on the blockchain. Today we have the founders, Sam Kasbian, the president, Theodore Facilius, the CEO, and Larry Sanger, who is also a co-founder of Wikipedia. We're going to hear Everpedia's vision for the future, why they feel they have a better solution than Wikipedia, and what the advantage of building this on top of the blockchain really is. All on today's episode, so stay tuned. Welcome to Rocketship.fm. Season 6 of Rocketship is all about lock, land, and building on top of the blockchain.
Rocketship FM is produced in partnership with Product Collective.
We're your hosts, Michael Sacca
and Mike Belsito.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, guys. So let's start off. Tell me, what is Everpedia, and why did you found it?
So at Everpedia, we're basically building the world's first and largest encyclopedia on the blockchain. But to just give you a quick history of how the company started and stuff, because it's been around for about 2 years. So originally we started the company with a vision to build a more modern and inclusive version of Wikipedia. India, and this was in early 2015. And since then, we've grown the site to about 3 million unique users, 6.5 million articles, about 7,000 registered editors, and we've raised a little over $1 million in traditional VC funding from Silicon Valley.
So what was the problem with Wikipedia that you saw? You mentioned inclusion. Is that an issue inside of the Wikipedia community?
Yeah, certainly. So one of the biggest inspirations for me and Sam when we started this company 2 years ago was, you know, both of us were huge Wikipedia fans. And we're both Wikipedia editors. But we were kind of frustrated with the Wikipedia community and how inclusive, how non-inclusive it was, and basically how hard it was to get any changes through. Especially their notability standard, which we thought wasn't really up to date for what's considered notable in 2017. Whereas, you know, some doctor from the 1800s that gets 5 searches on Google a month could have an article, but, you know, a YouTube blogger or a social media star with, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of searches on Google a month did not have an article. So we just have this huge vacuum of content Wikipedia doesn't cover that we think should have this format on the internet.
So was there a space that you started in? I mean, because Wikipedia is an expansive library of content. Was there a specific area that you focused on?
So we actually started by natively importing all of Wikipedia onto our own site. So we already have all of English Wikipedia on our site kind of as a foundation to build upon, because, you know, counter the argument on how you can compete with Wikipedia's content base that they've built up over the years. We use that as a foundation to build upon. Wikipedia actually did the same thing with Britannica back when they started. Larry can attest to that as well. So we kind of started with that and then built on top of that. Since then, our own editors have created hundreds of thousands of articles on top of that themselves, which technically makes us the world's largest English encyclopedia by content already, larger than Wikipedia.
Interesting. Larry, I'd love to hear about importing Britannica back in the start of Wikipedia.
Right. I guess we did that, but that was the 1911 version of Britannica. So, but it really did pad out the content of Wikipedia, that's for sure.
Interesting. So talk to me a bit about the editing process on Wikipedia versus the new blockchain-based process that you've developed.
So on a high level, it means that when you contribute content and curate articles on a Wikipedia, you're rewarded tokens within the ecosystem. These tokens represent votes on the site that allows you to vote and reach consensus on which articles are accepted into the encyclopedia and which ones are not. Since these tokens have real monetary value, that means that kind of also works as an automatic quality mechanism, because the more tokens you hold, the larger your monetary investment is, and the higher your incentives are to make sure that with whatever content you approve to get on the site, it's not malicious of any nature. Because if you allow through, you know, trolls and malicious content and stuff like that, that makes the value of the entire network go down, which your tokens are pegged to the value of, you know, the entire network. So same thing with Bitcoin. Like, you know, you could technically, from a mathematical standpoint, buy like 51% of all like Bitcoin and like destroy it. But, you know, no one has really done that yet, because there's really not any financial incentive to burn millions of dollars.
If I could join in here, there's a little background that we need to supply, I think. Right, the process that you see working on Everpedia right now is going to continue on much as it has been, and it's basically the same sort of wiki process that Everpedia uses. But what we're doing with the addition of the blockchain is we're actually adding the ability to create competing articles. And the articles, eventually we are going to make it possible for users in the system to rate articles, and then at least in our use of the data in the blockchain on Everpedia, we'll show the highest rated article. But again, there will continue to be a wiki process ongoing for the main Everpedia article and perhaps other Everpedia articles. But in addition to all of that, there's going to be a lot of content because it's an open, decentralized blockchain. There's going to be a lot of content that is taken from other sources as well. So I'm not going to reveal the name, but we've already got a deal with a well-known encyclopedia, the CEO of that group has already agreed to put their content on the encyclopedia blockchain that we're starting.
So there's the mention of blockchain, which is the ledger, and then there's this token, which essentially is an Everpedia coin, if you will, that has actual monetary value, that as you participate in Everpedia and edit articles, you actually earn this token or coin that you could then take to theoretically an exchange and exchange for, you know, Bitcoin or even cash.
That is correct.
Very cool. Okay, so so it has the same editing capabilities as Wikipedia, but now the editors will earn money that they can then recycle into the community, right?
Yeah, and the really cool thing about this is since these tokens actually track the value of the network, they kind of makes them into virtual shares, like a virtual company in a sense.
Sure, yeah. This
kind of makes everyone that participates in the editing process on the site a stakeholder in the site itself. So the incentive is mainly like actually having a stake in this entire platform as a user and earning back the value that you create. Whereas you create value today on, you know, Facebook, that value goes to a centralized organization like Facebook Incorporated, or good on Wikipedia today, you know, all the value goes to the Wikimedia Foundation. Right. Whereas with this model, the value actually comes back to you as an editor. That's the really cool thing about this.
Now, I have to ask about the kind of economic side of this. Who controls the share supply, right? With Bitcoin, you have mining. With Everpedia, you have editing. But who controls the total market cap of those coins?
Yeah, we have basically a distribution model that's similar to Bitcoin. There's a halving cycle, which the total number of tokens that'll ever be distributed is 1 billion. And basically, there's every few years it gets halved. And editing rewards that are modeled after mining rewards on Bitcoin. So it's programmatic, basically. Answer to the question is, it's programmatic and it can't be set by one group of people or something. But
and even you as the company can't issue more token or share. You can't change that. Cool. No, that's it's a really interesting model.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com. This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination.
Now, back to the show.
Larry, I'm interested how you see this as the next evolution of Wikipedia. Why were you so interested in getting involved?
I've been thinking about the quality of information online for a long time. And ever since I started working on Newpedia, which evolved into Wikipedia. The reason that I left Wikipedia back in early 2003, permanently broke with them, was actually over the issue of the quality of the information and the responsibility of the Wikipedia community as shepherds of the information. I thought that it had become too insular and too appealing only to a small number of people. I think the world desperately needs a bigger encyclopedia, one that is open to contributions to from absolutely everyone. So what we need to do, so to make a long story short, I approached the guys when I was visiting them in Los Angeles in their offices last year with the notion of an encyclopedia project where the best articles from all around the internet would be located and put into a single repository and the best would be found by rating. So they were like really busy getting Everpedia started, Everpedia in its current form started at the time. So they sort of passed on that idea. But then Sam came back to me a couple of months ago and with some very exciting news. So I had only heard a little bit about blockchain. I'd never invested in Bitcoin or anything like that. And Sam told me that Everpedia was going to use a blockchain. They were going to put their own content on a blockchain. And the idea then was that, hey, now we can actually implement that idea. We can finally invite everybody to an even playing field, a level playing field, and create a knowledge marketplace, essentially. The blockchain is precisely the way to enable people to co-create the best representation of human knowledge and to be co-owners of it as well, and not and to have it spread the responsibility for it spread throughout the world and not in the hands of a few people who you know, sit on their wiki pages.
So I understand at Wikipedia, it had become kind of like a closed group of editors that had access to these pages, and you didn't feel like they were letting other opinions in, like they were actually controlling the narrative a bit too much versus what an encyclopedia should be, which is just a printing of the
I think
facts.
We could just do so much better. Wikipedia now has something like, at last count, I think it was something like, was it 8 or 12,000 people who were had done enough editing in the previous month to be able to vote on articles. And that isn't very much, right? I mean, as shepherds for a top 10 website and the biggest encyclopedia in the world, that's just not enough. I actually think that the number of people who could be working on it every day numbers not in, you know, a few thousand, but a few million. And what would it be like if there were that much, that many people involved? It would be completely different. It would be huge, and it would be a lot, lot better.
I have to ask, the solution, it sounds like the next version, and it sounds like it could really solve the problem. How do you anticipate dealing with some of the bad actors now that there is a monetary component, right? So with Wikipedia, you have to edit and then you get access to vote. Here, you could potentially buy access to vote on an open market. How do you plan on dealing with that? Or does the blockchain solve some of those problems for us?
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to explore the game theory behind how this stuff works and see what one of our assumptions are actually correct. No one's ever done something like this, so this is really first of its kind. But I'm pretty confident that the model that Bitcoin and cryptos as a whole and the ecosystem proved is even you can think of a system in which some bad actors might possibly be able to take down the network, it's really never happened. It's really literally has never actually happened that.
Well, hold on. I'm not talking about the network itself, but imagine you have an article on politics and you have millions of dollars flooding in to push a certain opinion. We already see it with ads on Facebook, ads on Twitter. It's not implausible that a company could come in and buy up enough shares to actually influence which article is shown as the most popular opinion.
Yeah, definitely. That is a good point. So depending on how people vote and stuff, the consensus mechanism has different, there's a different algorithm in which if there is, one entity that's voting a different way while 99% of people are, voting some other way, there's like checks and balances that prevent those kind of corner cases. It's kind of similar to proof of stake. If you want a specific technical example, and all of that's actually laid out in the white paper. So this is actually one of the most interesting problems. It's one of the first things that, I mentioned in the actual technical paper. So, we have some good ways of fighting it. And I think that we'll learn more of how this works once we actually have a live network, which is really exciting.
Can I take a stab at that?
Absolutely. Yeah, so, I'd love to hear your opinion.
Definitely at the blockchain level, there are technical solutions that can be used. There are solutions associated with the protocol, and we're definitely going to work hard on that. But there's another sort of layer of data which will be part of the blockchain, and that is ratings of articles by particular users. So one of the things that we are eventually going to support is the ability of different users to basically declare that they are part of a certain group. They can actually identify their own, race, gender, ethnicity, religion, nationality, and as well as their and specializations, you know, what they're experts in and so forth. And we'll also be able to track which users are members of which professional organizations. And then we will be able to use that data together with the ratings that those people provide. And anyone will be able to build any sort of front end that will make use of that data, right? So if Exxon buys up a bunch of shares in order to upvote the Exxon article that they prefer, just for example, then it will be entirely possible for an innovative app developer to basically discard their vote and to use other less self-interested votes. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and so like right now with Wikipedia, when I read an article, the author is a little vague, right? Like I don't really know who's behind the editing. Is there the potential that with the blockchain, because all the data is publicly accessible, that information and that viewpoint will be more obvious to the reader?
Definitely, yeah. It's much more transparent when you're doing this on a blockchain. And just the way our front end at EverP is built as well makes the whole curating process much more transparent. There's more information and data about the people that are creating the articles and things like that than there is on Wikipedia.
Well, also, as you probably know, Bitcoin is as anonymous or as public as you want it to be. So this is kind of the same thing as, like Larry is saying, it's very easy, also likely going to be encouraged for people to sign messages that basically prove they're from some organization like CNN or a group of people or whatever. And, you know, in blockchain stuff, it's so easy to prove that if you just sign a message and, you know, have that channel of that group or something basically confirm that signature. And for anonymity, it also goes the other way, too. You can make additions and propose additions, basically, and vote on, you know, state change of these edits completely anonymously as well, and only be basically known as a cryptographic hash if you wanted to. So it's basically both ends of the spectrum that makes this really like free and open. You can be as anonymous as you know, non-anonymous.
Yeah, it's an incredibly exciting problem to solve.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing how it evolves.
Yeah, thank you. And this kind of the discussion on anonymity and stuff kind of leads us into another important aspect that I wanted to briefly mention. That is the fact that the platform itself won't just be owned by the community itself. It'll actually be hosted by the community itself. So we're using something called IPFS and eventually EOS storage, stands for Interplanetary File System, to actually host all the content on the site, all the articles. And this basically means that it's hosted on nodes by our content curators all around the world instead of on a centralized server such as in the US. This has some very interesting implications, one of which is that it makes the site uncensorable in the traditional sense that, you know, foreign regimes and corporations and stuff censor websites. So Wikipedia, for example, is censored in a lot of countries, such as, you know, China, Turkey, Iran, Russia, Saudi Arabia, etc. That's because these governments, they can ban, you know, one IP or one server, but, you know, they won't be able to ban or censor, you know, thousands of nodes that are collectively hosting this, much as, you know, how they can't technically ban Bitcoin. They can't ban, you know, peer-to-peer file sharing. It'll be the same principle, essentially. which is really cool because since we have all of Wikipedia already, and we have all of our own content, that means that people in China and Turkey and all these countries that don't have access to Wikipedia or certain parts of Wikipedia will actually start to be able to access Wikipedia anonymously through our Wikipedia. And there's nothing the governments in these countries can actually do about that.
Very nice. Well, it's exciting, guys. Where do we get involved? How do we keep up with the progress? And where do we keep up with you guys online?
You can always, I'd say the first thing is get an account on everipedia.org/register. Right now, the site is still the traditional website that I described with the modern editing interface.
Thanks for listening to Rocketship.fm. Rocketship.fm is now part of the Podglomerate Network. You can check out all the shows on the Podglomerate Network at thepodglomerate.com. And there's some good ones. We also want to give a huge thanks to Jordan Aaron, who helped us mix this entire series, and we couldn't have done it without him.
No, and also a big thank you goes out to everybody in this series that was willing to open up to us, whether you were a part of the Blockland Initiative, whether you were a naysayer in this Blockland Initiative. Thank you for being there for us. And finally, Rocketship is produced in partnership with Product Collective. We invite you to come over to productcollective.com and sign up to be a member. It's free to do that, and you could keep tabs on all things product, whether you're getting our newsletter every single week, whether you're attending one of our live video Q&A chats with product leaders all around the world. You can even join our Slack channel with thousands of other product people. Just come over to productcollective.com.